you would like, we could start out talking about the Gulf oil disaster and how that relates to Planet X, cause and effect relationship. I wrote this essay several weeks ago, and I really was very thoughtful in pondering just the right words and how to describe it accurately, because it gets a little scientific. So if I may, I'll read right from my own essay that I wrote and posted widely on the internet several weeks ago. Here it goes. Please stay with me on this scientific analysis of the mechanism which will cause land masses to arise out of the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico. The conclusion this is the conclusion of my theory, that land masses will arise out of the Gulf of Mexico. It was related to me 3 to 4 years ago through my friend Mark, who received this information from his geologist friend who works for the United States Geological Survey, the USGS. The resultant tsunamis and methane gas bursts will annihilate many millions of unsuspecting residents within miles of the coast, all the way around from Mexico to Florida to Cuba. I hope to inspire you to relay this analysis to concerned people everywhere. I plead with you to study this analysis and pass it on in order to spark public action movements to save lives, for these seabed upheavals can occur any day from now on. The Gulf of Mexico effluents, that is, any substance, any gas or liquid coming up from the seabed, Gulf of Mexico effluents display a mysterious white substance, yellow sulfur, and red, what I believe is iron, probably from the Earth's molten iron outer core, plus other substances from the lower mantle, which is right above the outer core. So the lower mantle is further out, closer to the surface, than is the outer core. At the core mantle boundary, that's the CMB, core mantle boundary, where this molten iron core meets with the mantle, large avalanches of the quasi-solid mantle edge of the CMB break off. So you have the edge of this mantle, sort of solid or viscous mantle, breaking off and falling into the liquid molten iron core below it. And this is the breaking off of these chunks of magma from the mantle is due to the heating of the outer core, this molten iron outer core. And how does the molten iron core heat it? It's heated by electromagnetic induction. And I'll explain that principle a little bit later, but it's a very simple principle. In fact, that principle is employed throughout electronics and the electrical field. In transformers, for example, you have the phenomenon of electromagnetic induction, where you take two wires, put them side by side, they're not even touching, and by simply increasing and decreasing the current in one wire, you actually generate a magnetic field, a ballooning and collapsing, expanding and collapsing magnetic field, like a balloon would expand and collapse. And that magnetic field, even though it's visible, its energy flux lines cut through the wire right adjacent to it and actually induce a voltage in that wire, in that dead wire next to it. Well, that's exactly what's the phenomenon that's happening to planet Earth. It's a molten iron core, and it's solid iron core at the very center of the Earth. We scientists believe that the center of the Earth is a solid iron core. Well, when you have magnetic lines of flux that are transmitted, radiated into this metal body called planet Earth, it induces currents in the outer core and the inner core. These electrical currents act just like a heating element would heat up the metal. And as a result, the Earth's iron, molten iron core gets hotter and hotter. When it gets hotter, it acts just like any liquid would act in a pot where if you're cooking food. As you continually have the gas beneath the pot heating up the liquid gets thicker if it's a type of a thickening agent, such as pudding, for example. It'll get thicker, and then all of a sudden it'll start to to burst forward, burst outward. If it's a thinner liquid, it'll just start to boil. Well, that's what's happening to the Earth right now. Well, I don't know what the time frame would be, but it just seems like every day we're bound to get increased heating of the Earth's inner iron core and the molten outer core surrounding it, and that's to get, you know, basically this, toward the center of the Earth. And as that molten iron core heats up, we're getting more and more emissions coming up into the seabed. And what these things do, maybe I should just continue. Well, I can continue the article a little bit later, but basically I'll tell you that these plumes of gas, just like you would see plumes of gas coming up from a boiling pot that you have on the stove, these plumes of gas and magma are emerging from the Earth's outer core, pushing up iron, drawing up the molten iron, and drawing up also the magma, molten magma, which is actually molten rock. And that's coming up in long tubules or tubes, plume. They're called mantle plumes. They rise upward toward the surface of the Earth. Excuse me. And then when these magma plumes hit a blockage, they will hit a blockage at the Earth's crust, what's called the lithosphere. That's the Earth's crust. And we have the Earth's crust is also at the seabed, the bed of the all the oceans and seas in the world. So at the bed of the Gulf of Mexico, there is a plume, a mantle plume of magma that's rising up. It's being generated by the ever-increasing heat of the Earth's molten iron core, and the plume is rising up just like a lava lamp, the kind of lava lamp that you see in a house, or people have them in their bedrooms, where a pool of lava is resting at the bottom of this long vertical lamp. And then when you turn on the electricity, the heating element below it heats up the lava, and then the lava exhibits exactly the phenomenon that we see occur, that we know is occurring within the Earth, and that is the lava in the lava lamp begins to plume upward, go up in a column, and that's what's happening in the Earth, is penetrating the lava tunnel, is going upward, penetrating through the magma. It reaches a blockage, which is the Earth's solid crust, the rather thin crust, called the lithosphere, and that crust is at the bottom of seabeds and oceans, as well as on land surfaces. Now, eventually, that magma, molten rock, that is, tubule or plume, it's called a mantle plume, it's bursting, it's pushing, it's heating up the crust underneath the seabed, the lithospheric crust, and it causes it to bulge. You can visualize all this stuff, something pushing up underneath. It's like having, you know, any kind of earthly phenomena that you've seen where you were putting water into a raft or something like that, or filling up something, you'll see it begin to bulge upward. Well, the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico is bulging right now, and this is why they put the Corexit down. They promptly put down the Corexit, perhaps maybe to, you know, I don't know about the poisoning effects, maybe that was one of their motives, but certainly the Corexit was laid down to provide a mask over the entire Gulf of Mexico so that people could not see, or scientists could not see down into the seabed to observe all the activity that was going on at the seabed with the fissures, cracks, the emissions of gases coming up. And that was the major reason why they laid down the Corexit. In fact, that we've got a little, somewhat pretty good confirmation of the fact, just that they were, the fact that they were laying down the Corexit to mask the entire Gulf of Mexico. And that came from Keith Olbermann of MSNBC, where you can find it on YouTube, where he reported that the Corexit does nothing to disperse the oil. The Corexit, its purpose was only to actually mask and hide the undersea activity of the Gulf of Mexico. So there you have evidence of it. And this was Keith Olbermann's report, came from a scientist who spoke before Congress. Yeah, I mean, it's still on YouTube, but you probably, I mean, he's been silenced now, I guess. Maybe he's not talking about it. I don't know. I would hope they would continue to talk about it. We are going to see, regardless of whether they cover it up or not, the activities of physics are still going on. The Earth's core is heating up more and more every day because this incoming planet and literally thousands of surrounding comets that it's this huge brown dwarf star has in its gravitational field, its gravitational grip. These comets are coming ever closer to Earth. And the reason is that this planet, Planet X, which is considered to be, by all researchers, to be a brown dwarf star, this planet is gravitationally being drawn in to our sun. Now, our sun is estimated to be about 333,000 Earth masses. That's a third of a million times the mass of Earth. That's what our sun is. As a result, the sun has a gravitational force, very much like a magnetic force. It's different in its character. It's different in its nature, but it has the same characteristics, the same effects, and that is it attracts. It attracts other large bodies, and that's why this huge brown dwarf is being pulled into our solar system. It's just a very plain principle of physics. Two bodies will attract one another, and that's what's happening. So it's on its way to the sun, but as it gets to the sun, it's passing. It has to pass over planet Earth, and when it does that, its swarm of, like bee swarm, more or less, of surrounding comets are also coming by Earth, menacing Earth, and we see more comets in the sky all the time. That basically sums up what's happening to our seabeds, and we can expect some violent reactions now with these mantle plumes coming up. And you have to ask yourself, I've asked these questions before, and they constitute circumstantial evidence that the power elite do not want us to know about this forthcoming disaster because they do not want to panic the public. And one of the things that I see happening is, first of all, the Corexit was a mask. That was a clear sign that these people in power are trying their very best to conceal the very perilous activity, geological activities at the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico. And another piece of evidence is that they will not show us the buoy readings. When have you ever gotten the buoy readings indicating the depth of the Gulf of Mexico? I don't think they're available. I mean, if those buoys are actually in, you know, operating, transmitting a signal, and what they do is they just transmit a signal down to a sonar signal, I presume, down to the bottom of the seabed, and that signal reflects back, and they just measure the elapsed time between the buoy at the surface, at the time that the buoy at the surface transmitted the signal downward, and the time it takes for the buoy to receive the signal. You know, it's tiny fraction of a second, but that gives you an indication of the depth of the water from the surface buoy down to the bottom. We don't get those readings. We're not being given those readings. I'm not an oceanographer,
okay,
but I would sure like to find out what's happening with those buoy readings, because that would really tell us if there is a bulge occurring. Now, in the Coral Sea, there were numerous reports recently. The Coral Sea is on the other side of the Earth near Australia. And they had detected a 13-foot, the buoys in the Coral Sea had detected, I think it was back in April, over a period of a couple weeks, they detected a decrease in the depth of about 13 feet, which is really amazing change in depth. So it decreased in depth by 13 feet. Well, that indicates there's a bulge there, too. So you see, this is a global phenomenon. You have these mantle plumes coming up because of the heating of the Earth's molten iron outer core, like a pot of stew boiling, you know, with a lid on it. And the lid is essentially Earth's crust. And this pot of stew is boiling away, and then eventually you see big puffs of steam and smoke coming out of the stew because it's getting hotter and hotter from the gas flame that's building up the heat inside the pot. And eventually the lid starts to erupt. It starts to bang and clang. because it's being pushed up by steam pressure. But I would presume that the most of the seabeds are essentially the same. Every one would probably have its own characteristics based upon, you know, the geology at that point. But there's enough of a commonality in the seabeds, in the sense that they're all rather thin relative to the rest, to the depths of the Earth itself, so that when any kind of mantle plume emerges, there's going to be a disruption. There's going to be bulging, and the pressure of that mantle plume is going to press up against the seabed and inject all the gases that are in the mantle plume, because that plume does contain gases. It contains hydrogen sulfide. These are things, if you study about volcanic gases, you'll find some of the typical gases that are expelled in volcanoes are hydrogen sulfide, methane, and these are some of the gases that were reported to be emerging, being expelled from the Gulf of Mexico since April and June. You probably read the reports about the hydrogen sulfide and the methane gas.
Yeah.
And this was from distances far, far away from that so-called oil spill that you see every night on television, with these bubbles coming out of this little plume of some kind of matter. It looks like a dummy camera, actually. It may just be a dummy sight. They're deceiving you into thinking that, wow, this is the big leak. This 7-inch diameter pipe, 7-inch diameter, imagine that. And all that oil that's flooding the entire Gulf of Mexico, or most of it, is coming from a little 7-inch pipe. That's like the Gulf of this area that's supposedly flooded looks like it's the size of several large states. Now, can you imagine having a 7-inch pipe coming out of the sewer in front of your house, flooding several states?
Right.
It's ridiculous. Another video that was just on a couple of days ago, and this man died. He was probably murdered. His name was Matt Simmons. Yeah, well, this guy was a big executive, and Sheldon Day brought to my attention. And it was reported that he was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. So he's one of the big guys. And I saw the YouTube, and you could see it too. It was on this program on TV. This host was named Ratigan, R-A-T-I-G-A-N. But I just watched the YouTube, and Bill, and was it Bill Simmons, was saying that, look, he was saying, here's a film of the undersea, so-called undersea leak. And he said, I saw this white fish swimming right through this little plume of oil. And the white fish came back out again, still white. And he said, this is really not, he was insinuating, this is really not the real leak that is polluting the entire Gulf of Mexico. He said, the real leak is about 6 miles away. The red stuff, I think, is the iron. Those red puddles that you see floating on the top of the Gulf of Mexico, I believe that's iron. And then you saw white stuff, and that's some of the foaming agents agents that come out of a volcano. All of these effluents indicate that this is a volcanic eruption. And how do volcanoes erupt? Well, it's just this magma plume. Actually, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to answer your question about what their agenda is, because that's a part of this essay that I wrote.
Okay.
But in getting to it, I'll go through, finish up some of the technical information as to how these mantle plumes form, because this is so important that people be able to visualize it in their minds, because when they see this thing erupt and see, you know, all the disasters in the Gulf of Mexico and in other seabeds around the world, they will understand exactly what is happening and what is the cause of it. We're going to get to the root cause of it, cut through all the lies and deception and the lies by emission that have been perpetrated by this power elite over the years. Okay, I'm just going to pick up in the middle of this article that I wrote, this essay. See, the heating of the outer core is intensified by the long period buildup. Oh, I'll get through that. That's not too important. Electromagnetic induction is what is heating up the molten iron core of the Earth. And it's now this, by the well-known phenomenon of electromagnetic induction, which now generated by plasma-saturated comets, which have been observed by scientists over the past 5 to 10 years. Now, how does a comet cause electromagnetic induction in the earth. You know, treating the earth like we were talking about, where you have a magnetic field in one body that's changing magnetic field, that is, and those invisible magnetic lines of flux from the comet, the passing comet, are flying through the earth as the comet passes, you know, millions of miles by earth, millions of miles away. It's in motion. Those moving magnetic lines cut through the earth and generate electrical currents in the most magnetically conductive and electrically conductive portion of earth, which is the earth's iron, molten iron outer core and its solid iron inner core. So we've got like a, basically like a wire. The earth is like a huge steel ball, essentially, at least on the inside, that is picking up all kinds of electrical heating, heating elements from the magnetic, invisible magnetic fields. So that's what happens. These comets are electrical because they have been saturated with plasma. When they punched through the earth's outer heliosphere, the solar system's heliosphere, many, many millions of miles beyond Pluto, there is a heliosphere, which is essentially a huge plasma bubble, like a huge bubblegum bubble. It's not sticky like bubblegum, it's sticky electrically. That is, the plasma is comprised of protons, that is positively, suffice it to say that they are positive electrically charged particles, and formed in a huge sphere surrounding the entire solar system, way, way beyond the outer bounds of Pluto. So when these comets come in from deep space, this huge, and its main comet, which is Planet X, the brown dwarf star, well, when it comes in, being drawn in by our sun from deep space, it has to penetrate that huge bubblegum bubble of plasma surrounding the entire solar system, our solar system. And when it does, it picks up all this bubblegum, this sticky, electrically sticky, not physically sticky, but electrically sticky plasma, sticks to it, just like the when you put your hand into a box of packing, when somebody sends you a package and you have all these styrofoam peanuts and they just stick to your hands and stick to your arms and you just can't get them off, and you shake your arms and you still can't get them off. They're electrically sticky, and that's what the kind of electric charge, static charge, that accumulates, that engulfs, saturates all of these comets, including the big guy, the guy that's drawing them all in together, which is Planet X. The drawing power comes from gravity.
Okay.
Whenever you have two bodies, just like, you know, an apple falls from a tree, well, the apple has a certain mass, and the entire earth has a certain mass, too. And that's what causes the apple to fall from the tree and hit the ground, because it's being pulled by the force of mutual force of attraction between the mass of the apple and the mass of the planet Earth. Well, similarly, or likewise, the sun, our sun, has a mass of 1/3 of a million masses. Earth masses. 1/3 of a million times the mass of Earth. That's how massive our sun is. This Planet X has been estimated to be a brown dwarf star. And a brown dwarf, let's be conservative in estimating its mass. The smallest brown dwarf you can expect would be about 3 Jupiters. And that's about, 3 Jupiters is about 1,000 Earth masses. So this Planet X brown dwarf star can be conservatively estimated to have a mass of about 1,000 Earth masses, whereas the sun has 330,000 Earth masses. So this Planet X is a tiny little itty-bitty brown star, where our sun is an adult star. So that's the gravitational attraction that's pulling this huge brown dwarf star into our solar system. And, of course, the brown dwarf star, being a huge mass in itself, has a gravitational attraction to every single thing that it meets along the way as it travels from deep space toward our solar system. It gravitationally grabs like a magnet, comets, asteroids, meteors, boulders, rocks, iron oxide dust, just about anything you can imagine. Anything that has mass, any kind of debris that's in space, it picks up like a vacuum cleaner. And it comes in trailing this whole huge field of debris, many millions of miles in diameter. It's like a bee swarm. I mean, it's inevitable. Like James McCarthy said, that one of those comets has our name on it. And it's inevitable. I mean, if you go through a hail of bullets, I mean, if the hail of bullets gets thick enough, you're going to get hit eventually.
Right. Right.
So with that hail of bullets, this bee swarm of comets that is surrounding, gravitationally gripped to this accelerating brown dwarf star, Planet X, which is accelerating toward the sun, and this swarm of bee comets that are surrounding this beehive, Planet X, as they get closer, the field gets denser because you're getting closer to the center of the population zone. You know, up to now, we've been hitting the rural areas, catching the rural outskirts, the outskirts of the Planet X neighborhood, so to speak. But now we're getting close to the populated areas, close to the big city. And as that happens, we get hit with more and more comets, like a bee swarm. Just visualize a beehive. Somebody throws a beehive through the air like a football.
Okay, all right.
And that beehive is just swarming with bees all around it. That's what we have coming in. Now, it's believed the ancient Mesopotamians, in their text, which was Zechariah Sitchin wrote about the ancient Mesopotamian text in his classic book, The Twelfth Planet, where he also talked about Planet X. Zechariah Sitchin, incidentally, has very high credentials as an archaeologist and an ancient historian. He's very well respected around the world. Now, some of his stuff, he's like a New Age, and I don't believe his spiritual views, you know. I follow the Bible because the Bible, I believe, has been proven to be more accurate. But he, in terms of his scientific knowledge and his knowledge of ancient history, he's very good. And he tells us, he's quoted from a man named R. Campbell Thompson, who wrote a book titled "The Records of the Magicians and Astronomers of Nineveh and Babylon," I believe, where they had deciphered some of the old Mesopotamian texts, which talked about the incursion of this planet, this huge celestial body, when it had come in the past, because it has entered our solar system. It enters periodically like a bus on a bus route. And it enters every 3,600 years because it is on a cometary orbit. And comets, by definition, travel on a highly elliptical, a very long stretched out orbit, you know, as opposed to the orbit of our planets, which is rather circular around the sun. This thing travels on a highly elliptical orbit, sort of like a very long clothesline or a very long bicycle chain. The runners on the track would be like the planets in our solar system. And they would be running around the track, and then all of a sudden you've got this, as an analogy, you've got this crazed spectator who comes running in from the outside of the track and goes straight through the track, cuts through the path of all the runners, all the circular paths, and causes mayhem along the way as it runs toward the center of the track. Well, that's what this comet is doing. Regarding the dead fish, I see that as a direct result of all the toxins that are bursting from the seabeds of the oceans around the world and emitting. These toxins coming up from the depths of the earth are very poisonous. Gases coming up are hydrogen sulfide, methane, etc., and it's killing the sea life, because the sea life have to, of course, they extract their oxygen from the water. So if you pollute the water with hydrogen sulfide and methane, you're going to kill all those fish. Seems to me to be a very obvious explanation for what's happening. Now,
right.
As far as the Gulf Stream, the Gulf Stream has actually stopped. The Gulf Stream loop current has stopped, according to Dr. Zangari, and this is going to be catastrophic, because now you no longer have that distribution of warm and cold water properly up through the Atlantic Ocean. It used to be a distribution like a conveyor, what they call the Atlantic conveyor, where the warm water from the Gulf would be circulated up into the mid-Atlantic, getting close to, sort of on the same latitude level as England. It warmed the sea, and it kept England at temperatures. Now you notice, like Dr. Zangari was saying, England and, you know, and France are warmer, a miler, even though they're at the same latitude, they're warmer than the United States, than equal latitudes, equal points on in the United States. For example, New York, Boston area, those areas are colder generally than equal latitude areas in Europe. And the reason that Dr. Zangari gave was that the Gulf Current, the Atlantic Current is bringing warm water on a conveyor through up to the Atlantic Ocean and causing the air surrounding Europe to be warmer. Now that's stopped. We no longer have that warming condition in Europe because the Gulf Stream has stopped, and now Europe is going to become extremely cold, and they're not prepared for it. Now, right now, people would say, well, I would welcome it to be cold because right now it's just so hot, they're having tremendous heat waves in Europe. And I think that's what we're going to be afflicted with, alternating cold waves and heat waves. And you know, this was prophesied by, you know, prophecy is another major facet of this whole issue. It's such a many-faceted issue of Planet X, but prophecy is such an important aspect of it. Prophecy has proven to be accurate, so accurate that we can no longer laugh at it. We have to look at it as some kind of supernatural power from God, where God tells us that this is what's going to happen, and he brings that truth through people that he selects, many of whom don't even believe in God. Oddly enough, that's how God sometimes works. And he told this woman, No Eyes, she was an Indian woman, she met this other woman, this white woman, and No Eyes, the older Indian woman, gave this other woman the name Summer Rain. And she said, you are Summer Rain, and I'm going to tell you all of the things that are going to happen. And she spent time with her. Summer Rain wrote a book, Mary Summer Rain, and she explained all the things that No Eyes told her. No Eyes said that there would be, that she said, great storms will come. They'll cover all lands, and summer and winter will be all mixed up. So we're seeing that happen now. We're seeing great storms all over, storms of flooding, excessive torrential rain. We're seeing droughts. We're seeing hailstorms with record-sized, large hail, the size of grapefruit and baseballs, very commonly, too. It's becoming more common. So all the things she talked about are actually manifesting now. She did, and one other thing she said was, you're going to see bodies hit the ground. And I think that might have been a prophetic reference to the World Trade Center, where people were jumping out of buildings. It's just amazing how she said, you're going to hear bodies. Yeah, you're going to hear bodies hit the ground. I don't know what else that could refer to, but something as graphic as that. This has been prophesied, and we can talk more about other prophets who mentioned the same kind of who predicted that these things would happen, such as Edgar Cayce.
Many people
have heard of Edgar Cayce, and this man was genuine. I don't know if you want to get into it now. We can probably talk about it later, but I'll just briefly tell you some of the things he said while he was in a hypnotic trance. Yeah, incidentally, his trances were authentic. I mean, at one time, a couple doctors tried to prove him a fraud, and he allowed them to try to see if they could wake him up. But he didn't know what they were planning to do. What they did was they stuck a needle through his cheek, his face, while he was asleep to see if he would jump or twitch or anything. Nothing. He didn't move at all. Then they took a scalpel and they cut off his entire fingernail with a scalpel. Didn't move at all, and then he woke up in agony, and he was furious. Yeah, there's a huge library of all his readings at the called the Association for Research and Enlightenment at Virginia Beach, Virginia. So he did many trance-like readings where he would heal people. And people, his son Hugh Lynn Cayce said, "I have him on tape." You know, there was a documentary made about him a long time ago on television, and his son Hugh Lynn Cayce is on right on the documentary saying they used to bring truckloads of mail to the house. People were begging him for readings, find out what was wrong with their loved ones. They were dying. The doctors had no cures. And these people were begging him to... And he did the best he could. He spent almost his whole life trying to cure people. So he was a healer, just as Nostradamus was a healer. Casey, one of the things he said while he was in a trance, generally it would be finding, going through somebody's body, like a woman, for example, had a bite from a tiny brown recluse spider, and her leg was beginning to deteriorate. It was totally infected. The flesh was lesions all over the flesh, and it was getting worse. And she was far away in a different city. But he would go into a trance. He didn't know what he was saying, you know, when he came out of it. He had no idea what he had said. He was asleep, and they were telling him, his wife and the secretary were telling him, this woman, Laura, has a severe lesion on her leg. And he would say yes, and he'd talk in his sleep. We are going through the streets, and he would name the streets where his mind was traveling, or his body. I don't know what was traveling. His spirit was traveling. It was just inexplicable how he did it. But he said, now we've arrived at the house, and the color of the house, he would describe that, and what something is cooking on the stove, etc. And then he would go upstairs, and he would say, now we have the body, and this woman is laying on the bed upstairs with a lesion all over her leg. And he says, hey, now we're going through the heart, we're going through the lungs, we're going through the vascular system. And yes, and he reaches the point of the infection, and he says, her lesion is from the bite of a tiny brown spider. And he recommends oil of smoke, which is an oil of that day. And I believe that was, you can never find out what was really the component substance of oil of smoke, but I believe it was oil of oregano. So if you ever get a lesion from a tiny brown spider or anything that's infectious, you can put pure oil of oregano on it, or maybe dilute it because it might burn if it's pure. And also silver germicide. But anyway, just to testify, the reason I go into this is to attest to his supernatural abilities, which obviously came from the only one supernatural power, and that is God, the highest supernatural power. And God gives his power to many people. So, in fact, in the Bible, God tells many people, you know, that he gives them the power to heal the sick. And he does that because that gives them, the sick and the people around them begin to believe the healer. And when they believe the healer, then maybe they'll believe the message that the healer is bringing. Well, in the case of Edgar Cayce, his message while he was in a trance, one was the greater part of Japan must go into the sea. And another thing he said while he was in trance was, what is now the coastline of many a land will become the bed of the ocean. And then another thing he said was, San Francisco and Los Angeles, both of these will be destroyed before New York. And another thing he said was, look for the eruptions of either Mount Vesuvius in Italy or Mount Pelée, which I believe is in the Lesser Antilles, in the Caribbean, Southeast Caribbean, a little bit north of the South America. Well, it's called Mount Pelée. I think it's on, is it Martinique? Yeah, it must be Martinique, the island in the Lesser Antilles. He said in a trance, if you see Mount Vesuvius in Italy erupting, or Mount Pelée, P-E-L-E-E, erupting in Martinique, within several months after that, you're going to see the big earthquakes in California. So that's okay. A sign that we should look for. Keep your eye on the volcano websites and see when Mount Vesuvius or Mount Pelée begin to erupt. And that's when you know you have to be getting your bags packed in California. Now, you know, we can't move. I mean, I don't expect anybody in California to sell their house or to move out of their condominium. But you can certainly have a little grab-and-run bag. And then when you see something erupting, when you see some kind of a sign indicating that there's going to be maybe an earthquake, like toads swarming out of the ground, or worms, insects swarming out of the ground, when you see animals getting hysterical, starting to run away, well, you've only got like a couple hours before that earthquake is going to occur. And what happens is, and someone has theorized, I read this, sounds a perfectly logical theory, and that is that, you know, the tectonic plates underneath the earth, they rub together and they butt up against one another, and that's what's called an earthquake. But and as their preceding frictional rubbing of these huge tectonic plates beneath the earth causes what is called a piezoelectric effect, P-I-E-Z-O, electric, piezoelectric effect. And that's the same, I might have mentioned this on your last broadcast, I'm not sure, but when you take, when you have a cigarette lighter, a lot of the cigarette lighters are using piezoelectric effect to generate a 1,000-volt, 2,000-volt spark. All it is a crystal, a tiny crystal, and when you flick that cigarette lighter, the hammer impacts that tiny little crystal, but it generates a voltage of like a couple thousand volts, and that voltage is high enough to jump across that tiny hair-like gap between, you know, within the electrode inside of there. It generates a high voltage like a spark plug in your car. It's the same principle where a high voltage is generated high enough to arc across the air gap. And when that arc occurs, what do you get? You get an electrical spark. You get fire. And that's what ignites the cigarette lighter, the butane in the lighter. And that's what ignites your stove when you hear that click, click snapping sound. That's a piezoelectric hammer striking a crystal or a rock, any kind of a mineral. Well, the same thing happens under the earth, only on a much, much larger scale. Tectonic plates bang against one another. When that happens, you have high voltages at the gap, at the arc, the junction point. High voltages are generated across distances within the tectonic border, boundary, the margin of the two tectonic plates colliding with one another. And consequently, that voltage generates electrical currents that go through the rather electrically conductive, wet, moist earth where frogs like to live, and they get zapped. They get electrified because they're in electrified water, and they come dashing out of there because they're being stung by this electricity. So that's one of the signs of an earthquake. The frogs come swarming out of the ground. It happened in China. We have the photos of the 2005 earthquake, I think it was, or was it 2008? I can't remember. Sichuan, China. And the frogs came swarming out of the ground. I mean, with the photos of the people in China driving down the streets of the city on their bicycles and in their cars, and thousands of toads coming up out of the ground, both sides of the road, just like in Greece, as you had described. Animals go crazy. Now, Jim Berkland, the retired USGS geologist, has stated this. He predicts earthquakes by conjunctions of planets, planetary conjunctions when they're all lined up, and that makes sense too, because we know that the forces are cumulative, or when they build together, they all work together in unison like a coherent light wave of a laser light. That's what is a laser light, its power, when all the waves are in line like soldiers lined up in marching in columns. So there's going to be, it just has to be a major disaster. Incidentally, let me finish what I was saying. I just remember what I was
saying. You got it? Okay.
Talking about the alignment of the planets. And Jim Berkland was saying that, you know, not only with the alignment of the planets do you have earthquakes, because the gravitational forces of all the planets, when they rotate or revolve around the sun, sooner or later they reach a point where all of them are lined up and in one point, and they focus in on the earth. So all that combined force in unison acts on the earth and pulls the crust, and we have a significant increase in earthquakes when there's a planetary conjunction. But getting back to Jim Berkland, another thing that Jim Berkland uses is lost pet reports. This is incredible. It's speaking about signs of earthquakes. Not only do we have toads coming out of the ground as a precursor signal of earthquakes, but you see insects, worms, other insects coming out of the ground because they're being stung by these electrical energy beneath the surface. But also you have animals going crazy because they sense some of these vibrations or whatever it is, but they have an ability to detect, perhaps it is high-pitched sounds, I don't know. But do you know, Art Bell reported back in the tsunami of 2004 he read from the Washington Post that in that 2004 Christmas tsunami in Asia, not one animal was killed, not one elephant was killed. They all stampeded. They all got out of there before the tsunami struck. And also, they have, that's true, well, animals are definitely, I mean, they're not guided by a lot of the forces that blind us today, that's true. And yet they also have physical senses too, like they can sense higher pitches and vibrations. But whatever, Jim Berkland found out that when he checked the lost pet reports in the newspapers on a constant basis, and whenever the number of lost pets increased, he would even graph it, so he could see what was considered a normal number of lost pet reports. And then whenever he detected both conjunction of the planets and a significant increase in lost pet reports, he would say, there's going to be an earthquake. And he was right, because those are two. When those two indicators, which are very much remote from one another, they're not related at all. Lost pets and planetary conjunctions are, very unrelated. And when they both coincided and gave the same indication that, we have a lot of lost pets and we have a conjunction of planets, watch out, there's going to be an earthquake. So that's another sign, lost pets and wild. And look at the squirrels outside and watch and see if they start getting really weird, running around frantically. And if the birds start, huge swarms of birds start squawking and flying in all different directions, look for all of these signals from animals, because this is important. This could save your life someday. We're definitely going to run into earthquakes. These are practical warnings practical information that you really, really need. Now, getting back to your question about the Gulf, what kind of a disaster are we going to see? This bulging of the seabed. You're right. My friend Mark told me this. He lives up here in northern New Jersey.
Okay.
But he has a friend who works for the U.S. Geological Survey, and this friend has been rather forthcoming with him, which is really good, because this is a great contribution to humanity, to be warning people about what's going on. We're not getting anything from this lying, deceiving, murderous government that they don't care how many millions of us die. They don't care who gets killed in the Gulf of Mexico, as long as they can keep it from us so that we will not panic. If we panic, if the people panic, the people will no longer be afraid of the government. The people in panic will no longer be obedient to the government. The people in panic may not even pay their taxes to the government. So now do you see why? And a lot of us are, being more following the Constitution, which is the real law of the land, trying to maintain our obedience to the Constitution and not to obedience to tyranny. However, most of the people of this country have been trained by television, hypnotically, in fact, and socially conditioned deliberately through scientific means of social manipulation to be obedient, to be fearful, and to give up anything. They'll stand in lines, they'll take any kind of abuse, and that abuse is being increasingly heaped upon the people so that the power elite can see. See, they're testing us. We're a bunch of caged animals in a laboratory. They're testing us to see how much we'll take. Well, you and I are not failing, and your listeners are not failing, because they're listening and they want to know the truth. The ones who don't want to know, who say, leave me alone, don't disrupt my comfort zone, those are the ones who are obedient. Now, what will happen, though, even the dumbed down, docile, hypnotized, mesmerized zombies in this country, the majority, will go into a state of panic and fear. And when they go into a state of panic, when they see natural disasters exploding all around them, they will, despite their docile nature, despite their fearfulness, despite their timidity, they will rebel. They will say, I'm going to get myself some food, I'm going to get some canned food, I'm going to get some water, because if we see this power blackouts, the government can no longer maintain control, I am no longer going to be obedient to government, I'm going to protect myself and my family and try to take care of them, and to hell with the government's rules. So I've heard, I used to work with a guy who was pretty old a long time ago, and he had lived through the Depression. And he said the same thing as you're saying. He said people won't do anything, no matter how bad it gets, until their bellies get empty. They get hungry. Well, that's what started the French Revolution.
Yeah.
Hunger.
Yeah.
So you're right. But this is what the power elite is trying to prevent the people from panicking, because when they see these disasters, and it's only, they can't prevent the people from knowing the truth very much longer.
Right.
When we see the Gulf of Mexico begin to explode, And it's bound to happen. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you some of the indications I got. Mark spoke to the U.S. Geological Survey geologist friend of his. I see him. He's not too far. He doesn't live too far from me. And I prefer, you know, not to talk to him over the phone. But, of course, I'm talking to you over the phone, so telling you everything that he told me, because it's a matter of lives and deaths. I mean, we've got to talk about this.
Right.
His friend said that 3 to 4 years ago, again, like I told you, that they are looking, two things that these geologists are looking for. One, great oil drilling opportunities in the Gulf of Mexico, and his prediction has been fulfilled in spades, because we've got every country in the world practically that was previously, just up to a few months ago, was in the drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Because oil is pushing up from the bottom. That's mm-hmm. why they went in there. Now, why didn't they go in there 20, 30 years ago? Because oil was not pushing up from the bottom 20, 30 years ago. But that's why 3 to 4 years ago they said, hey, we're starting to see great oil drilling opportunities. And every country went in there to drill. Because it just happened recently that the Gulf of Mexico seabed started to bulge upward with oil deposits. It's not your fault, it's not our fault that we didn't realize it, because they never tell us anything. The power elite knew about it, because the power elite have what's called torsional vortex imaging. TVI, torsional vortex imaging. So I don't know much about it. Dr. Bill Deagle has talked about it. He used to work with the government, and we know this, the technology exists. It all makes sense, even if you're a physicist or if you're even casually acquainted with science. It makes sense. What they do is these chemtrails have been laid down, possibly one of the main reasons, maybe not the only reason, but the chemtrails have been put up in the air to create like a balloon surrounding the Earth. And Jerry E. Smith, I remember him talking about that before he was, I'm sorry to say, murdered a few months ago, 1 month before the Gulf disaster. And Sheldon and I really strongly suspect that he was murdered because he knew what was going to happen. He was talking about the Gulf of Mexico. And I have to go back to some of his old TV programs, or his old radio interviews, I mean, and his writings. But he was talking about something with the Gulf of Mexico. Oh, I know, wait. It was oil drilling possibilities, just like this geologist from the USGS was saying. And Jerry E. Smith had said several years ago in a radio interview that these chemtrails are actually contain a polymer. I guess it's sort of like a plastic bubble, that it begins to build up and it creates a bubble around the entire Earth. And within that bubble, of course, is embedded barium and aluminum. Aluminum is highly conductive. So, and he didn't explain what was the purpose, but I could see several purposes for it. One is to reflect the sun's increasing intense energy, because this Earth is going to burn up, and the power elite don't want the Earth to burn up because they're on it. That's the only reason they don't want it to burn up. So they would want to create a reflective bubble that reflects the Earth's the sun's energy. And at the same time tell us that the Earth is warming up because of internal heating and combustion on the surface of the Earth, which is a big lie. But they know it's the sun that's causing it all, because these other planets are heating up also, and they don't have SUVs on Mars, but yet all the other planets are heating up too. So it's the sun that's causing this. Marshall Masters has documented this very well. But anyway, another part purpose is not only of this bubble, this aluminum, electrically reflective and light reflective bubble around the Earth, this polymer bubble that Jerry E. Smith talked about. And second purpose is to reflect something internally. When they do imaging with this torsional vortex imaging, they bounce it. I guess it's an electromagnetic wave, sort of like a high-frequency energy, like a radio wave, only higher frequency. It could be an ultraviolet, or I don't know what the frequency would be. But it's reflected off of into the Earth. It goes deep into the Earth, and it's like basically like electromagnetic sonar. And then it reflects off of this, comes back and reflects off of this bubble surrounding the Earth. and they can thus get an image. Now, I can't go into the details. That's all I know. I have just a very sketchy impression of this torsional vortex imaging, but that's not really, the details are not important. It's the effect that it has, and that is they're able to look deep under the ground, hundreds of miles below the surface of the ground, and look for, well, you know how greedy they are. What would they be looking for? Gold, silver, iron, all the mineral resources, and they found all these valuable resources in Afghanistan. So, of course, they had to have a convenient World Trade Center attack and blame it on Saddam Hussein, who's not even Afghanistani, and then go into Afghanistan to, you know, lay the pipeline and to dig up the natural resources and a whole bunch of other reasons. So it's such a horrible crime.
It is.
Global crime against humanity. I mean, if the Nuremberg trials never brought that out, I mean, that's what these people are doing, the greatest violators of the Nuremberg Accords.